Let your spirit reach our heart. That the issues of the heart will be solved this morning. No man has seen you in Mendocino. Therefore, we want to see you so we can also be transformed. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning we pray that the praise and worship would be like a sweet on your tongue. It would be like honey before you. Oh, Father, that our praise and worship will attract your very presence. That the fire of the Holy Spirit will be manifested. That the drama will drown out of the Spirit. That in the name of Jesus, the singer will sing the songs of the Spirit. Lord, that in the name of Jesus, that the presence will praise you, oh Father, into the satisfaction in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your spirit invade us. Let your spirit overtake us. Let the power of God manifest itself. Let this house be crumbled this morning. Let your presence overtake even the young and the old, oh my Lord, my God. That in the name of Jesus, we will see the miracle we have ever seen nor ever heard of. Lord, you are God, and you declare in your word that you change now. And Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let your power also be the same among us. That this morning, Lord God, you will raise the Elijahs of our generation. That today you will raise the Moses of our generation. That today let your spirit overtake us. That all we will do this morning, every little bit of it will please you. This morning, also allow your word to go forth. Allow your word, your transforming word, your word to encourage to reach the people. Any wind that will blow to alter the word, Lord, we command it to move out of this place. Any thought of man, any intention of the soul that will cause any alteration in the word that will come forth this morning, we command it right now in the name of Jesus to be silent. Father, let your spirit take absolute control.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let your living waters sweep over my soul, and let your Holy Spirit come and take control. Every situation that has troubled my mind, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great things He has done, and greater things He will do. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things He has done. Oh,
Hallelujah. Great things he will do. He will do great things, but then he said greater things that he will do. Unto the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a day before the Lord.
Yes, indeed.
What a time to be in His presence. Hallelujah. What a privilege to worship and to praise the only, only living God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough. Because you have been great in our lives. This morning, we thank you for your presence in the midst of our worship. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Prepare our heart for the word.
Yes, God.
Teach us wisdom and understanding. Instruct, teach each and every one of us this morning that we may rise to every challenge that we may face. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's people say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if you ever look at yourself as a believer, as a Christian, and consider every issue that you have faced. Consider every situation you have gone through or you have been through. And ask yourself, am I really still here? Have I overcome? Am I still living? Sometimes I look at myself and I ask myself, am I still really here? And I try to touch my face, touch my own body to feel it, to see if I'm really still in the land of the living. Because there has been too much that has happened in the course of my Christian life, even before my Christian life. But after I became Christian, things just didn't get any better for me. But one thing I've come up with, and that came to me this morning as a revelation, as I was thinking, Lord, what should I speak about this morning? I gave me some idea. All I need is the idea. And it came to mind, built to survive the blast. We are built to survive the blast. Hallelujah. You see, when you consider the war in Iraq, the war that U.S. military fought in Iraq recently, there was a time when the Secretary of Defense said we have to change the vehicle in which our military personnel is riding in. Because they are not really resisting the blast of the enemy's weapon. Are you with me? So they went back to the drawing table. And they come up with a new type of vehicle that is able to survive the blast of the enemy weapon, bomb, and so on. So, one time in life, before we came to Christ, or like people say, BC, before Christ, we easily fall under the pressure and under the blast of the enemy. But after you became a Christian, and when you consider everything that has happened to you, from that moment all the way to now, I'm not talking to a fleshy Christian, I'm talking to a spiritual one, because they are the only ones that can really understand this. You realize that things that have happened, they somehow shook you, but yet you didn't crumble.
Amen.
You realize that things have happened, they went off like a bomb, but you didn't come down as the enemy desired to see you. So what has happened? I'm struggling in a place today, and I believe that it's because we have been built to survive the blast. Now let me take you to the book of John chapter 19 verse 11. Because of all the screaming, my voice is kind of shaking this morning. It's good to worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the preacher needs to reserve his voice for the preaching. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. John 19, 11. Are you there? Jesus answered. Obed, let's go to verse 10 first, so you may really understand what's happening here. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Because he's a man of power. Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? That tells you he didn't know who he was speaking to. And have power to release thee. The enemy can sometimes be arrogant because he does not have the full knowledge of the element you are built with.
Amen.
He saw Jesus, all he sees is a man standing before him. Because Pilate does not have the spiritual eyes to see what is inside Jesus and what his mission is, he said, don't you know that I have power? Hey, my spirit will be crumbling around that time. Hey, God, let me strike down this man. Thank God it wasn't me, but it was Jesus. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me. Except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee had a greater sin. So Jesus, praying man, spoke back to Pilate to say, listen, you have no power over me. Now, this is where you need to understand when you go to the book of Hebrew. When the Bible said Jesus was made a little lower than the angel, he comes down here. Pilate would have had no power over Jesus if Jesus was not brought down below the level of an angel. Jesus said, you have no power over me. With all the military might that you have, with all the thousands and the thousands of men under your command, with all your army combined, you have no power over me. Okay? And he said, unless it's given to you from heaven above. Jesus was made a little lower than angel for a time such as this. And when you continue, I believe it's Hebrew 9, chapter 2, I believe. Or the other way around. The Bible said he was made a little lower than the angel for the cross. So we must understand that his whole mission on earth was about the cross. So here, when he stood before Pilate and said, you have no power over me unless it's given to you from heaven above, is because Jesus will have to be made lower than angel so a man of power in the earth can have power over Jesus. Are you with me? Are you with me? Now, Jesus, it was because of the cross that his power as God was reduced down to the level to below level power of an angel because of the cross. Now, as for you and me, now Jesus died and rose again, everything is done. Now, what about you and me now? Now, when you go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, I'll show you something very quickly. Jeremiah 29. This is a scripture almost every Christian knows, almost, including the fleshy Christian. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 29:11. Mm-hmm. Are you there? Mm-hmm. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So he's saying to us here, now the thought that I have towards you is not a thought of evil, but of good. So now that tells me that when God was building me as an armor vehicle to ride in the earth in a time such as this, he put something in me so I can resist the blast of the enemy. Are you with me? So he said, the thought that I have towards you is not of evil, but of good. But here's the with your mission? Why are you here? You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. If your position on your job does not need anybody, do you think they're going to hire you? Do you think they just have enough money? They don't know what to do with it, so they would hire you to just give you money? Oh, no. It's because there is something there that somebody has to do. That's why they brought you in. So God brought you in for a reason, for a job to be done, for a mission to be fulfilled.
Yes.
That's why we are unique, because our mission are unique.
Yes.
That's why I cannot fulfill your vision. And that's why you cannot fulfill mine. Mm-hmm. Understanding your goal and your mission is very important for you to fulfill the call of God upon your life. It's not over yet. Jesus said what? I send you like a lamb of war among the wolf, Oh yes, are we vulnerable? When you look at us from outside, we look vulnerable. But when you look at us from inside, hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are not vulnerable. We have the greater. Greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. We have something in the past that is not about me, but Christ who lives in me. You ain't listening to me. Meaning, you know what? The powerful Jesus that the grave put Him whole. The powerful Jesus that defeated Satan in hell and broke the doors wide open and brought the saints out of hell is the one now living in me. You may look at my outside. You can peel the flesh off. But the Jesus in me, you can touch. That's why He said, don't fear them that can only kill the flesh. Oh, they can only kill the flesh. Don't fear those people. Because what? What is inside they cannot reach? When you see coward men, the paws are seen on the women. They slap them, they kick them. That tells you this man, they are empty inside. A man that is a man does not lift his hand against a woman. That's why when you're looking for a man, don't look for the flesh. The flesh will deceive you.
Amen.
When you're looking for a man, you look for one that has Christ in him. Because Christ is He that lives in me. He is the one that can defeat the world. He defeated the world. So now if He's living in me, you have all the protection that you need. Because why? The reasoning, the thing that I'll be coming up with, in terms of my reasoning, Christ will be involved in it. So anything that Jesus is involved in is not going to mean to hurt the woman or the man.
Amen.
I am built to survive the blast, ladies and gentlemen. So now God, because He had the plan of good and not of evil towards me, so He knew that I'm going to be living in a time such as this, where evil is everywhere, where the weapons of the enemy are available on every corner, where bullets are flying everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm declaring to you this morning that we are built to survive the blast. That's why you are still here now, because there has been more than enough stuff to take you out of this world. There has been enough of your own mistakes. There has been enough of the enemy pursuing you. There has been enough of your own ignorance to cut you off the earth. But why? Why is inside? Jesus, which is inside, has made you much stronger. Sometimes the blast came, it took our flesh. But let me tell you, the structure inside that is holding you up, He ain't coming down.
Amen, 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 amen.
The structure inside, which is the bone that is holding the body up, the spiritual bone, the Jesus inside, is not coming down. Let me show you something in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hey, hallelujah. Let's start with verse 8. That's why, you know what? I'm not one of those, since I became a preacher or since I became a Christian, I'm not one of those that everything work out good for. I ain't going to tell you that it didn't work out for me. We are now, as a priest, not one of those churches where everything just works, everything just comes as soon as they say the money is flowing from. No, we are not one of those.
No, we're not.
All right? Let's continue. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 8. We are troubled on every side. Oh yes, is that your life? I am troubled on every side. Yet not distressed. I am not distressed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to wait for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 8. Are you there? 2 Corinthians. Yeah. 2 Corinthians. We're going to get there. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 8. Okay.
Amen.
We are troubled on every side. Ladies and gentlemen, in my head I'm troubled. In my spirit I'm troubled. In my flesh I'm troubled. Oh, my Lord, my God. Sometimes I wonder if there will be a time of peace within. I'm troubled from every side.
Yes.
Why do you make the difference between a believer and an unbeliever? We are both troubled, okay? They are troubled too. I'm in Christ, I'm troubled too. But what is the difference? You see, the difference is here. The Bible says, what? On every side. Yet, I am not distressed. I am not distressed. I am not distressed. But he that is not in Christ, he is distressed. Let me tell you, we are troubled on every side. But, you know what? We are not distressed. Are you there? Are you there? We are perplexed. Oh, my God. But not despair. Yes, Jesus. Always there.
delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Let's jump to chapter 11.
Can I have chocolate milk?
Hallelujah. Chapter 11, verse 23. Going down. And here, Paul, towards the end of his ministry, began to mention to the church of Corinth the things that he has suffered, things that he has experienced as a Christian, as the minister of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of man and the counseling of man is not enough to help you navigate these rough waters of life. The technology and the medicine that's available are not good enough. The good thing about we've been built strong and stronger to resist the blasts is that we were built only once. Mm-hmm. But every single issue that we will face, we will be able to afford. The issues of the spirit, you should be enough to afford them. The issues of the soul, you should be enough to afford them. The issues of the flesh, you should be able to afford them. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. Above measure. In prison, more frequent. In deaths of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one, meaning 39. Twice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And the Bible only mentioned one. The one in the book of Acts. By the island of Malta. Are you there?
Yes.
Or Malta. Malta. Yeah. Wait. Malta or Malta. Yeah, are you there? That was the only one that was mentioned here. When she came out and the snake bit him, yeah. And they said, oh, this man must be some powerful sinner because he can just come out of the shipwreck and he's been bitten by a snake. Oh no, he's great. And before they know, the man is still alive and he became the one they're bound before to for prayer, for healing, and everything that they need. Ladies and gentlemen, he is built to stand every day. Are you there? He said, she prayed, and night and the day I have been in the deep. Oh Lord Jesus, we have experienced some deep time in our lives. We have experienced time when sometimes you just feel that bed and cry because there's nothing else you can do. Haven't you expressed everything that you can express, but yet there's no understanding, there's nothing happening. Didn't you fast and people say this is the way you fast? We said 12 steps this way and 2 steps that way, and it worked, and you did it, and it didn't work, and we tried everything, and now you get to that place all in all of this, and you cry to see if something will happen, and yet still nothing happened. He said he has been in the deep, in journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of the robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen. Now let me just tell you, Paul is not safe anywhere. Within his own family, within those who claim to be Christian, within his own territory, outside, in a way that is where he did that we know, and Paul was not safe anywhere, even on the water. The winds are coming against him. The ship is going down. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul asked, oh God, what else? What else? Where can I find peace? Ooh. Are you with me? Sometimes we experience this kind of stuff. The much stronger you are built, much stronger storm you will face in life.
Yes, yes.
That's what happened. Because the great man of God had the greatest testimony of all time. Oh, you didn't hear me. The great man, or the greatest man of God. When they were living, they didn't know they were going to be one of the greatest men of God. They have the greatest testimonies. When you go to the book of Hebrews 11, when he's talking about the men of faith, the heroes of faith,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't know their name is going to be in the Bible, and they'll be going to be referred to as heroes of faith. Let me tell you, the Bible says books are written in heaven. Maybe you and you will be written somewhere at the bottom there as heroes of faith.
Amen.
You're looking at me like, come on, people! Yes! We experience so much sometimes! And that's why the Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required! Look! I used to work for Amstel Industries, right? We used to make sewage pipe, right? And we make various type of pipe, right? Okay? Listen to me. We build some that are very thick. We build some that are thin. We build them for different things. Now, when it's time to test them, we test them based on how strong they are, not on their size. Your size is not going to determine how you will be testing life. But you, your testing life will be determined by how strong you were built inside. What is inside will determine how you will be tested. That's how it goes. Sometimes you will see this big minister on the sea, they say it's good, it's a good stuff. You know how this come, they needed this and bam, somebody give them a check for, and they needed this, somebody give them a credit, and it's like everything just working good for these people. And you'll be like, my God, but these people have all this big ministry, why are they not the one experiencing all the troubles of life? And it seems like they ain't experiencing anything. And I'm here, I don't have 20 people to say, oh, and now I have to suffer all this. God, what is going on? Not is determined by how tough you are built. Not by your size. No. The size is not where God is looking at. The Bible's where He does not look at appearance. He looks at inside. The heart is inside. He looks at inside. So your inside will determine how you should be testing life. The Bible says Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested after He had prayed 40 days, 40 nights, after He spent all night prayer. Now that man, why does he need to be tested? And he was tested with some of the greatest tests of all time. Satan knew the things that attract people. He knows how to gather people. He knows. And you see, when he brought him to the mountain, he had him look down. Because when you look down, you can pretty much see everything. You have a better view. Bird's eye view, they call it. You will see pretty much everything. You will see the position of everything. You will see where the Federal Reserve is located. You will see where the central bank is located. You will see where the gold are stored. You will see everything and how people are enjoying this. Satan said, I will give you the glory. Mm-hmm. The glory of this world. If he wasn't, for how tough he was built inside. And those 40 nights and 40 days in prayer and fasting, oh my God, he might be coming out of there like what? Carbon fiber? I don't know. Really strong. But he was able to resist. He didn't even pay attention, much attention to Satan. He said, you know, oh, enough is enough now. Let's keep it moving. Because you ain't going to overcome me with these things. Ladies and gentlemen, don't look at the outside too much. Look at how strong you are built inside. I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm talking about your spiritual stand. Inside. Eh? What other things can you resist? Eh? How much temptation comes your way? Do you resist them or do you just give in? You and God, only the two of you know how strong you are built. That's the truth. Because I don't follow you where you go. But the eyes of the Lord is everywhere. And the next person to God to know everything about you is yourself. Satan is not omnipresent to know everything about you. That's one truth. In fact, the Bible tells us he can read the heart of man. Only God knows the heart of man. Satan does not. Don't be confused. Please preachers lie to people. Satan doesn't know what is in your heart.
Only God knows what's in your heart, and the next person is you yourself. So how strong you are built, only you and God knows it. Only you and God know about it and keep it. But you can maintain how strong you are built inside by following the steps of Jesus. Fasting and prayer, obeying the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Paul continued, he said, in seeing, in perils in the city, in perils among the false brethren and the strength, he said, in weariness and painfulness, in watching of, in hunger and thirst, in fasting of, and you wonder, this man established all these churches, why he doesn't have a jet? He could have had the fastest donkey of his days. But he didn't have even the slowest donkey. He built all these churches, and yet he didn't have the slowest donkey of his day. And how in the world this man with signs and wonders, miracle through his hand, and the thieves will attack him in the wilderness. And he can just say, blindness, put the blindness upon them and walk away. No. And how this man will be hungry all the time and thirst and not be able to afford water. And this man is one of the greatest men of the New Testament. He's one of the greatest men of the New Testament. He had nothing to boast about but his pain. He had nothing to boast about but the pain and the suffering that he had experienced because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying riches is bad. It's a bad thing. Being rich is not a bad thing. What I'm talking about here is to be built tough inside and resist the things that you face each and every day and overcome these things that come up against you. Amen. God said, the thought that I have towards you is the thought of good and not of evil. And he said, when the enemy comes in as a flood, my spirit will raise the standard against him. What the spirit is? The spirit is? The spirit is not in the Delaware River. No, the spirit is here in you. The spirit of God. That's where you lift the standard from inside.
Hallelujah.
The standard is lifted from inside against what the enemy is bringing in, against the information the mind and the eyes are bringing in, the skin, because sometimes it's the feeling. Yeah, the spirit inside lifts the standard and say, standard, don't come in here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Paul speaking. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, this don't come upon him weekly. They come upon him daily. The care of all the churches. As the teachers are good, thank God for them. But I don't think they know people as the pastors know. Because what? Teachers deal with the physical aspect and sometimes with the emotional aspect of the student. But the pastor will have to deal with the physical aspect, with the emotional aspect, and the spiritual aspect. The three parts of human being, the pastor will have to deal with each one of those. And there's nobody else in this world that deals with those parts. That's why the job of a pastor, church leader, is very difficult. And the Bible says, esteem them highly. To highly esteem these men of God. And these men of God are to be highly esteemed. Because why? They carry the weight of your soul, your spirit, and your body. You may ask me how. That's why a church, a good church, that really understands the Bible, is not to stop on the spiritual aspect only. No, the church must care for the emotional aspect of the people and go beyond that and reach the physical need. Some churches just care for the physical need, and the spiritual aspect is left, is abandoned. Some who care for the spiritual and the physical and the emotional aspect is abandoned. No, for a man to be whole and completely whole and in good health, all these three aspects of man must be taken care of. None of them should be ignored. Are you with me? So the churches that are doing this thing, caring for these three aspects of the people, are the ones fulfilling the call. Are you with me? So where are we? And he said, let's jump to verse 30. And he said, verse 29, I said, who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I'm not burned? I'm not burned. Okay, verse 30 said, if I must need glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmity. Oh my God, that's why I can't stop this morning. I said, does this man have infirmity after all this power to raise? He was dead. Are you with me? He laid hand on people, people got healed. All this thing happened. And yet his own self, he didn't say infirmity for me to say, oh, he might be probably the thing in his flesh he was talking about. But no, it wasn't that. He said infirmities, meaning many infirmities. He has a lot of infirmity in his life. And that's what being a man of God becomes sometimes too difficult. It's like, okay, God, these people come with their infirmity and they walk away without their infirmity. And now I'm just standing here with my own infirmity. And it's like, if my infirmity become a part of me. And sometimes what may be worse, sometimes as a preacher, you become so familiar with your infirmity. And it's like, you sometimes you embrace them. You embrace them as a gift. Though they are not gifts, you embrace them sometimes because they become too familiar. Paul talking about his infirmity. That one blew my mind. And he has infirmity on top of all this thing. Is God not looking and see that Paul has too many stuff to deal with? Ladies and gentlemen, you are built to stand the things that you're facing. You're not going to take a rubber toy through a test of a steel toy. Oh, yeah. You will crush it. Or it will burn. Steel, when it's finished, before the final touches, is sent through the oven fire or oven, depending on how strong they want it to be. And you will go through the fire and the heat for a long time. Because the longer and the higher the heat, the temperature, the stronger the bone inside the marrow. So that makes that steel very strong. It becomes much stronger when the temperature gets much, much higher. So you know what? The issues of life, the difficulties of life, the infirmities of life, the lack, the all these things that fall upon us, they're like oven that we go through. They're like oven. But you know what? The change that comes this into the oven, they are very slow. They move like a food. A food. Maybe sometimes it may take 5 minutes for the change to carry this in from 0 to 16 inch. Sometimes it may take 20 minutes, depending on how hard they want it, they melt to be. So if your chain is moving slow, and it seems like you are in this oven forever, that tells you that, ladies and gentlemen, by the time you get to the end of the oven, you're going to be very strong. Hallelujah. So then you say, Lord, I don't want to be that strong. Run, keep this chain rolling. Keep this chain rolling. And what happens is that if something happens, and one of them we bring it right back to the beginning. Oh, you don't want to go back to the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. No. Just let the chain move. Don't try to make it go any faster. Are you with me? Okay, we're going to close with Psalm 37. We'll close with Psalm 37. And we'll look at verse 24. Hallelujah. Psalm 37, verse 24. He said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholded him with his hand. We are going to read it. Read it into your spirit. He said, though I fall, I shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth me with his hand. Hallelujah. Like in second grade. Come on.
But come on, let's put the last time.
Though I fall, I shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds me with his hand.
Amen. Right. Let's close our eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you this morning. We thank you for the word of God that has gone out. The word of God to build the people of God and encourage them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Oh, Lord, we pray. We pray, we pray, and we pray. Turn your attention to our situations. Turn your attention to us, oh Father. Bring us out of these difficulties. We pray, for greater is he that is in us. And Lord, we know that to the ends of our life on this earth, greater will be that one that lives in us. So in the name of Jesus, we expel anything that will cause fragility in us. We expel anything that will come to work against he that lives in us. We expel anything that is not for our growth, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, right now this morning, we take authority in the mighty name of Jesus. We command sickness to be out of our life. We command infirmity in the flesh and in the soul to be out of our life. In the name of Jesus, we curse any demonic force, any demonic spirit that rub itself against us, that come up against us for any demonic reason. Lord, any demon that has been assigned to your people tonight, Father, I blind that demon with the blood of Jesus. And I call for the light to shine upon your people. That the light will shine so the birds and the cockroaches will run in the name of Jesus. Any satanic, any demonic assignment, Father, we come against it. We erase it with the blood in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let the power of God have its way in our life. Father, encourage your people's heart. Heal all their sicknesses. Rebuild the enemy. Rebuild them from inside out. Encourage them, oh God. Wherever finances is lack, Lord, we pray. Bring abundance in the name of Jesus. Everywhere peace is lack, we pray for abundance of peace in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We thank you for being our God, the Lord, the love of our life. In Jesus' name, and God's people say, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. If there's anyone among us this morning that have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, this word this morning might not profit you much. But from the very moment you say, Jesus, I accept you into my heart. Become the master of my life. You are my Savior. That very moment, you will see a change. These words will profit you for eternity. Is there anyone that want to have, that want to accept, or that want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? If there's anyone, just raise your hand anywhere you are. Is there anyone this morning? If not, then that means everybody's saved, and we are on our way to heaven. If you agree with me, just clap your hand. Amen. 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 If anybody is in need of prayer, you know prayer is what we do. Amen. That's the only way we can really communicate with heaven. If there's anyone in need of prayer, you can just come here and pray to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wait, Sammy. Sammy, come here. Let us pray for you.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Brother Samuel right now. Lord, we rebuke anything that the enemy has planned concerning Samuel. Lord, we rebuke any satanic assignment. We rebuke any satanic mind concerning Samuel. We erase the plan of the enemy, the agenda of the enemy. We burn with fire, even right now, in the name of Jesus. We're releasing the oil for healing and transformation
into Samuel's body right now, that in the name of Jesus, anything that is happening, Father, in his body, that is out of order, Lord God, that there will be order. Lord, we reverse any situation that is not in his interest. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to his pancreas right now. I say, pancreas, hear me. Liver, hear me. Oh, I speak right now to every vital organ in his body. I say, all of you, in Jesus' name, receive healing, receive restoration, receive peace, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
We just agreed with the faith of Samuel as he moved from God has already healed me, you don't have to pray for me anymore, to I don't have diabetes. So the Bible says, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Mm-hmm. Talking about faith. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that this morning, I said, Lord, he has believed and he has spoken. Mm-hmm. We agree with his faith.
Yes.
So let it be. Let it be established. Amen. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Blessings and glory. This month, we are having all-night prayer, which lands on October 31st. Amen. So we encourage all church members to be, come on out.
Yeah.
Huh?
It lands on Halloween.
It does. It lands,
on
the 31st of October.
Oh, that's crazy.
Hallelujah. Amen. So, so church members, you're encouraged to come out and bring someone. Amen. And as always, you're welcome to order a copy of today's message on CD for a donation of $3. Yeah. Any testimonies at this time? Any praise reports?
Amen. Amen. We've been praying for TJ having trouble with school because he's doing much better now. We have being with his teachers, and compared to last year, he's doing like exceedingly much better.
If he can melt away right now.
TJ's
parents do that, man. They just call you out like that.
Embarrassing.
Extreme embarrassment.
Aww.
Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that has been imparted in our spirits, Lord, as we transition into the ministry of giving. We ask right now, oh God, that you bless those who are giving, God. We even ask that you bless the ministry partners, God, that have the vision, that have caught onto the vision and understand what we're trying to do in ministry, Lord. We ask right now that you bless these finances, God, that it will feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and give water to those who are thirsty. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
We ask everybody to come to the black box and drop your offering. Great things he has done, greater things he will do. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things he has done. Oh, great things he has done. Greater things he will do. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things he has done. Back to the hands of the pastor.
Hopefully, one more testimony. God is good. Today's me and my wife's wedding anniversary. My wife's not feeling good today, so she's at home. But 18 years, so that's going to
sustain.
Amen.
Thank God for 18 years of wedding of marriage. Amen. Amen. Okay, before we go this one thing I want to show you. I want you to just look at the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll tell you
what's going to change.
Okay. This is a picture from our last mission trip. It's mission work that I've received this month. Yeah, this month. And they asking what can we do? They asking what can we do? Well, first I say, well, I don't know what we can do. I don't think there's anything we can do. But this week I was in prayer. The Lord said to me to spend 10% of what the church has in all of our account for on this particular one. This is a really complicated thing because first of all, I don't think they have the medical expertise to handle that particular case. And what happened is that the item you see there will keep getting bigger and bigger to the point that it will stop causing the child to walk because of the weight of the hand, because it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger unless something is done. So to the point that it will just keep start bending to the side where that thing is. So
As I was in prayer, the Lord reminded me of a hospital that I do not remember. It's an Italian hospital down there that he said we should send the child down there. But I'm kind of a little, I don't know, kind of see situation. I have no idea how much it costs. If there's any hospital down there that can handle it, it's gonna have to be that particular hospital. And it's away from where this village is. This village is gonna require traveling. And that is some wicked bacteria that costs there. And what it does is that there's some very aggressive antibiotic that they use. I don't know if at that stage it will require surgery or not, but medical care is needed. And I know there is a team that go around the world that handle that kind of stuff, but I don't have any clue where they are right now, if there's anything we can do besides maybe we should try the Italian hospital to go and see what can be done. And I don't have any idea how much the 10% of what we have, the 10% is our tithe, is the tithe of the church. I don't know if that will be enough or not. So I'm bringing before you what are we gonna do? Anybody have any idea? I know this wasn't told before, but I think I received those pictures maybe three weeks ago. But my conclusion was first, you know, I don't think we can do anything. But the loss that you spent was 10% of our liquid asset. What do you think? What do you think? Anything that runs through your mind, let me know.
We can put an offering just for that.
Yeah, the past that, the story of that to other strong nations that already have established medical teams that are that, like, that you can count on every medical team to handle it. It's a lot of doctors don't do that kind of stuff. It got to be a specialized there are doctors that are specialized. They have like a surgery mobile surgery that kind of like a mercy ship.
Yeah.
Mercy ship is one of them. But last time I was in Togo, they were down there. But the thing is, people like this, they don't have even a radio to say, oh, they know mercy ship is here. Even if they hear mercy ship, they don't even know what it's about.
Yeah.
So what mercy ship does is that they send their people through the villages to find these people and bring them to the ship. Because these folks don't know anything. All they know is that they have a condition. So right now, because it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger, that's the problem. I don't know. I haven't said anything to them down there yet, but I want to run this by you first, because it's not a, it's the church. Nobody's trying to speak. You're going into the spirit.
Yeah, I think it's the
I have a question. The question is they're asking you to, you said it's, are they asking you to give them what they need or to assist them in help they get in the ship?
They ask first, what can we do?
Yes, what you can do is, because you...
Because the thing is, if we send...
I'm not against the 10%, I'm saying you do what you can do.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying, you just do it. Because I don't know if you're saying, we don't have enough to give them what they need. So are they expecting everything they need from you? Are they asking for assistance or whatever you can do?
No, this is from the team. This is from our mission team.
Yeah.
Because our mission team, they pretty much depend on us for what is done, what mission work will be done. And when they went to the village, they saw this one. I don't think they have seen this before, because we've been there many times, and I don't know how fast that thing gets so big like that, but I think they just found it and sent it into what can be done. Well, my first thing is, you know, I don't think we can do it, because first of all,
looking at or considering the medical expertise in Togo, I can trust them with that. And even sometimes, because of money, the doctors can say, oh, we can take care of this, and they will make a big mess and get away with it just because of the money. So I'm trying to avoid that first thing. So I ain't asking any of the Togolese doctors if they can do anything about this. So the only people, first I think about maybe Ghana, which is next door. There are a lot of mission medical establishment down there. That would be a better job than the Togolese doctors. And the next thing I think about was the Italian hospital. And they are more like a non-profit, I would say. But still, you have to pay for most of the stuff. So that's what I'm thinking. Because those kind of antibiotics, I'm not sure if you have them available in Ghana, but Italian hospital, I'm pretty sure they can fly them in if they need to. But they just need to get a contact to see, you know, whether this is something they can take care of.